supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Dave Heller is off this evening. Up first, there's new ammo in Philadelphia's soda tax wars. City Controller Alan Butkovitz surveyed city businesses and found nearly 9 in 10 have reported revenue losses this year. Butkovitz says it's proof the tax is hammering mom-and-pop shops, but not everyone agrees. WHYY's Avi Wolfman-Arendt has the story.
Butkovitz's team reached out to about 1,600 businesses. Of the 741 responses, more than half report at least a 10% drop in earnings over last year, and most blame the sweetened beverage tax for their woes.
The kinds of businesses that we're talking about often survive on maybe a 2% profit margin. And at the same time, you're getting comments that say we probably are going to have to close up. That's a big problem.
Butkovitz believes grocery stores and corner stores will flee low-income neighborhoods, creating so-called food deserts in their absence.
It's not just a question of the popularity of the tax. What's important to us is its impact on providing essential nutrition to people.
But not everyone is buying these survey results. Butkovitz has been a vocal tax opponent. And mayoral spokeswoman Lauren Hitt says this is simply the work of a politician with an agenda.
He intends to use the beverage industry and the soda tax and his opposition to it to advance his own political career. So we just don't think it's an objective analysis.
She also notes it does not account for the economic impact of the 2,000 new pre-K seats created by revenue from the tax.
We know that's allowed a lot of our parents to go back to work and to be more productive employees.
Response to the city controller survey was voluntary. Hitt says researchers from Penn and Harvard are working on a more rigorous analysis of the tax and its impact. Those results should come out later this year. Opponents of the 1.5% ounce tax are also challenging it in court. Avi Wolfman-Arendt, WHYY News.
Landlords in Philadelphia are noticing a trend. It's getting harder and harder to find tenants to move into their units. With the city in the midst of an apartment construction boom, renters have more options than ever, meaning landlords are increasingly going above and beyond to get people to sign leases. WHYY's Bobby Allen first got turned on to this after he went through it himself.
I was recently helping my landlord find a replacement tenant for my apartment. It's a charming third-story walk-up near Queen Village. It has hardwood floors, good lighting, and a private roof deck. It's also reasonably priced. My landlord says in all the years he's owned it, he's never had to give more than two showings before someone snapped it up. But this time was different. We showed the apartment to droves of people over several weeks before someone finally committed. What's going on here? Is he the only one? Hardly.
I mean, I had two conversations yesterday with people who we have rentals for. Exactly what happened to you and your landlord. Exactly.
That's longtime Philly real estate broker Mike McCann. He says this time of year after school starts is typically a slow season, but he says that's just a small part of the story. The bigger part, the flood of brand new apartments and renovated units in Philadelphia are giving landlords intense competition.
2 years ago, we do a Craigslist post and we get 20 hits. Now I just had one, a little one bedroom on 9th and Spruce for $1,100, a tiny one, small, cute one bedroom. We had no hits in a week.
In the last year, according to real estate research firm RealPage, 8 apartment buildings have been completed around Center City, and there are 19 currently under construction. Once those are finished, it will be the largest number of new apartments hitting the market since the firm began tracking Philly in the 1990s. Here's Drexel University economist Kevin Gillen.
We have a lot of units chasing relatively fewer renters.
Too many apartments, not enough people looking to rent them. As a result, median rents in Philadelphia are down for the first time in 7 years. That's according to data from Zillow.com. It's a renter's market, which means it's a tough time for people like real estate agent Christy Michaels.
Hey, good to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
I meet her at a renovated brownstone she's showing in Society Hill.
Watch your step.
We're walking up the stairs to check it out with prospective tenants Lisa Schaufler and Alyssa Koningsberg. Walking to the bedroom, and the two women look around the space.
Both bedrooms also have window units. So this whole area is cooled as well. And this is a huge bedroom. with a giant closet.
To Schaeffler and Konigsberg, this is just one of many, many places they're considering. Here's Konigsberg.
We went to a place every single night last week, and some have just been the worst. And you don't know because the pictures look really good, and then you get there.
And when they get there, they are quick to identify deal breakers.
We don't really like carpet that much because it kind of feels gross. Yeah. We need a dishwasher. We cannot do our own dishes.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, we need laundry in the unit because we went to a place this morning that didn't have laundry, and they were like, bring it across the street. And we were like, no, we'll never do laundry if we have to do that.
Michael says the two are proof that the market is leaning in favor of renters. Being this choosy is a luxury when the supply of apartments is tight and there's cutthroat competition for each one. But now, the opposite is true.
The market is so saturated right now.
Because of that, Michael says landlords are sweetening the pot to woo apartment hunters.
Owners are decreasing the rents in an effort to try to get renters in. I have one client who is now offering two free months. Two free months prorated over 12 months is like an incredible deal.
That's not all. Michael says Philly landlords are offering flat screen TVs, credit at laundromats, gym memberships, and free parking spots, all to draw reluctant renters. And meanwhile, apartment hunters like Konigsberg are taking it all in and not settling for anything other than the perfect place.
It's like our night job. Like, we get off of work and I'm like, Lisa, as the minute you get off, get changed, we're going. So it's maybe like 10 this week, I would say about 10. Yeah.
Landlord after landlord told me the name of the game right now in Philly isn't increasing rents from last year, but instead trying to hang on to the tenants they have by encouraging them to sign new leases with no rent hikes. Does the apartment oversupply and demand not quite keeping up mean we're entering an apartment bubble? Economist Greg Willett with RealPage doesn't think so. He says the greater Center City area is experiencing an oversupply right now, and everyone is feeling it, but it's not a cause for alarm.
There's no big concern about this being a bubble market. The leasing activity is a little bit slow by historical standards, but it's still reasonably healthy.
Mike McCann, the real estate broker, says with more and more people, especially young people, drawn to Philly for its relative affordability, things should balance out in a year or two as all the empty apartments are absorbed by new arrivals.
All these millennials, the rental market's going to stay a healthy market. It's not like people are saying, yeah, I'm not going to Philly anymore. I'm going to go to Delaware. You know, that's not happening.
Not that there's anything wrong with moving to Delaware, but barring a mass exodus there, McCann says don't expect an apartment market crash anytime soon. Bobby Allen, WHYY News.
U.S. Senator Bob Menendez's corruption trial goes to the defense. This comes after the judge denied a motion to dismiss the most serious charges against the New Jersey Democrat. For WHYY's New Jersey desk, Ang Santos reports from the federal courthouse in Newark.
The defense team in Senator Bob Menendez's trial opened with testimony from family members. The senator's son, Robert Menendez Jr., recalled several trips to the Dominican Republic with his father's good friend, Solomon Melgen. He called them family gatherings. Prosecutors accused Menendez of taking bribes from Melgen, a Florida eye doctor, in return for helping him resolve business problems with government officials. Melgen's wife took the stand and spoke about the brotherly bond the two men have. Attorneys for the defense tried to push back against the accusation that Menendez also gave to Melgen through a cash wedding gift for their daughter, but federal judge William Walls had none of it. He called a $1,000 gift from a United States senator, quote, chump change. The defense began its work after Judge Walls denied a motion to dismiss the most serious corruption charges. He said he'd leave it to the jury to decide whether Menendez had made any official acts in exchange for gifts from Melgen. Prosecutors took more than a month presenting their case. The defense is expected to take a few weeks to present its side. For WHYY, I'm Ang Santos in Newark.
Philadelphia is once again talking about the Sixers, who start their season this Wednesday and who've been butt of NBA jokes for years now. They'll be featuring three players taken in the top three draft picks, all under the age of 25 and all possible stars in the league. Joining me now to take in some of the excitement around this young team is Marcus Hayes, sports columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News and Inquirer. Marcus, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me, Shai.
Sam Hinkie, the former general manager of the Sixers, no longer there, but the path he set is well underway. His strategy is well known. The team tanked for several seasons. They fielded players probably wouldn't have even made the NBA normally, lost the vast majority of their games. They got those high draft picks, and now they're seeing it pay off. Lots of young talent on this team, right?
There really is, but among the young talent that everybody's talking about, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Markel Fultz, they played aggregate 31 games. So you really don't know what you have from all of this tanking, all of this losing on purpose. Ben Simmons, obviously, he missed last season with a broken foot, and Joel Embiid missed the first two seasons with injuries, some of which he entered the league with, some of which he incurred, and then missed, you know, all but 31 games last season. And Markel Fultz is the number one overall pick this year. So you really don't know what you have except excitement and hope.
Well, I was going to mention that because let's look back for a minute. 2013, Sam Hinkie comes in from the Rockets, trades our young star Drew Holiday because he was not good enough to sort of build a championship team around. Several high draft picks later, the Sixers once again trade their young star point guard Michael Carter Williams again because he's not good enough to build a championship around. And now here we are again. It's like Groundhog Day. We have this 19-year-old potential star point guard Markel Fultz, two superstars around him, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And how will we know, like, when this team is good enough?
I think there will be a sort of watershed moment somewhere in the second half of this season in which Joel Embiid will either be a cornerstone franchise player or one of those guys who just can't shake injuries. And there's no criticism necessarily of Sam Hinkie for taking Joel Embiid because he is a transformative athlete. He's absolutely majestic. There really hasn't been a player like him. If you could somehow sort of combine Shaq and Wilt, you'd get Joel Embiid, but that is not to say he'll ever be the player either of those was.
We haven't talked about Ben Simmons. You mentioned he was injured last year. Have you seen him play? Do you expect him to contribute this year?
I mean, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, there really haven't been players like these guys in the NBA at this point. It's the same was true of Jahlil Okafor, who was the big thing 2 years ago. He was so polished coming out of Duke offensively. He was breathtaking in the right moments. But there are caveats with all of these guys, and there should be. Their games aren't developed the way that, you know, other superstars' games were developed when they came into the league in the 80s and 90s. For example, it's painful to watch Ben Simmons shoot jump shots and free throws. His release and his mechanics aren't perfect. You don't know if they're going to hold up. However, he's an instinctively wonderful player in the open court and in the half court. He's a wonderful guy to watch pass. He's like LeBron and Magic in that he has angles to pass that other guys don't have because he's 6'10". He handles the ball well, and he is a superb athlete. He is very, very fast. And in every sport, soccer, baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is, speed wins.
What do you expect from the team this year? How many wins?
You know, 35, maybe 38, which makes me a pessimist apparently in Philadelphia because most people believe that they have the horses to go to the playoffs. And the reality is one of those horses, Markel Fultz, is a rookie who probably isn't going to start because Jared Bayless, a more experienced backup, needs to start. Ben Simmons, who they hope will be this, you know, hybrid power forward point guard, probably isn't going to play point guard as much as you would think in a traditional sense, because he doesn't have the skill set at this point, quite frankly.
He's essentially a rookie.
He's a rookie who doesn't necessarily shoot well and will probably turn the ball over. And if you need to win just a little bit, then you can't have that deficit there because teams feed on your deficit. So there are issues that they have to overcome that they're not going to overcome by Christmas, which means that 42, 43 wins might not be realistic, but 35 to 40 might be more realistic, especially in an Eastern Conference that just isn't very good and seems to get worse every year. Simmons needs to be a point guard by the end of the year. Fultz needs to be a starter. Embiid needs to be efficient on the court. He can't be a guy that isn't secure with the ball. And Okafor has to be tradable. Those are the four things that sort of have to happen and 30 to 40 wins for this season to be considered a step forward in the process.
We'll see what happens. Marcus Hayes, Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News sports columnist. Thanks as always.
My pleasure, Shai.
That's all for tonight's show. Newsworks Tonight is produced by myself, Kimberly Haas, and Brett Rader. Thanks for joining us. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov for Newsworks Tonight.